Hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. I am your host, Nessence Lauren Campbell. I will be joined, as always, by Massachusetts Pirates team reporter and my amazing co-host, Jake Iggy. On Thursday, we released our part one interview with former Red Sox player Ryan LaVarnway. And today we are super, super pumped to share with you part two of our conversation with Ryan. So let's jump right into it.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
But in 2013, you got to be a part of that team a little bit. I was curious. You spent a little bit of time up there. So that team had so much personality, so much energy. What was your experience sort of around that team?
So I think that was the year that I was up maybe 2/3 of that season. I played a lot. We had just a great group of guys, and I think the thing that stands out to me about that team was the leadership, the player leadership. The first conversation I remember having in spring training that year was with Johnny Gomes, and he was a new free agent signing, and I said, "Hey, nice to meet you, how you doing?" And he didn't say "I'm doing good" or anything like that. He said, "I'm fucking great. I'm one day closer to the World Series parade that we're gonna win."
Exactly.
And he just set the intention and he set the goal from day one that there's no, we're going to jinx it, we're not going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. It was, we're going to talk this into reality and make it happen.
I love it.
You talk about personality. Johnny Gomes certainly is a larger-than-life personality. You can just tell just how much he loved the game, how much players loved being around him. Such a good energetic person for that 2013 team. You're 2013 playing with the Red Sox. You were called up and down quite a few times. Is that mentally taxing to you during the season to be back and forth between AAA, MLB, and just back and forth?
I think it definitely takes some getting used to. And at this point, I've gotten more used to it since I think I've been sent down, traded, or released 23 times now, 10 years later. But the thing about that team was, Salty was the guy. Salty was the everyday catcher. And then David Ross, was the team leader and filled in and then took over in the playoffs. But when I was up and when I got the opportunity, I needed to step in and do my thing. And I think I hit 299 that year, which at one point I played eight starts against Cy Young winners in a row. So
wow.
I ended up only getting the tough opponent pitching. But again, I had a conversation with Dustin Pedroia at one point where, I was doing good and he might have been in a small slump at the time, which he never did. So it must have been brief. But he said, "Hey, do your thing. Me and David are going to win these games. You just do your thing." And he was such a good leader that he took that on his back and he took that on his shoulders and didn't make anyone else feel the pressure because him and David were going to win the game. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. As you can see, I got a picture of him right here. He was a role model of mine all throughout growing up, and I think that's kind of funny that he said that, because I don't know if you've heard this little tidbit, but David Ortiz didn't know Dustin Pedroia's name for like 3 or 4 years playing with him. He thought his name was Pee Wee.
Yeah, well, David didn't know anybody's name. That's why we call him Big Poppy, because he just calls everyone else Poppy.
That's hilarious. But so like as you mentioned, you spent a good amount of time in AAA with the Pawtucket Red Sox, and one of the fans from Twitter, Brian Palm, he said, ask him what it was like hitting balls that haven't landed yet at McCoy Stadium. He said, Ryan was so nice to the staff and fans there. Great Paw Sox player, but even a better person. I thought you'd like to hear that.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. Thank you. I loved Pawtucket. I still love Pawtucket. That's where me and my wife really built our relationship in the city. And she used to work at bakeries there. Great, 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 great town, great people there. And I have nothing but love for that.
Love it.
That's so exciting to hear. I just feel like with the Paw Sox now being in Worcester, it's so much more accessible for someone like me who's closer to Worcester. And now it's to hear good things about Pawtucket. I just feel like it's few and far between. It's like Pawtucket, I feel like the Paw Sox was all Pawtucket had. So it's always nice to hear that, especially you and your wife kind of built your, you said your story kind of was there and your life's, your relationship and your love grew there. So that's always a plus for me to hear stuff like that.
We hope you are enjoying our conversation with Ryan LaVarnway. We will dive into much more with him in our second segment of Locked On Red Sox. Thank you once again for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. But first, I need to tell you about Built Bar. By now, you probably know it's not an episode of Locked On Red Sox if I am not talking to you about Built Bar. It's the holiday season, so grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar. Built Bar is filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor. It's covered in chocolate. You honestly get the best of both worlds with it being delicious and healthy. There's also so many flavors, you'll have a hard time choosing. There's raspberry, there's mint brownie, there's cherry, there's double chocolate. There's also my personal favorite, cookies and cream. Built Bar gives you that extra fuel you need to bust down those mall doors and battle those holiday shoppers. If you're like me, you are finishing your Christmas shopping today, so make sure to grab a Built Bar. That's exactly what I'm going to do. And because it's the season of peace and love, do not bring up your favorite Built Bar flavor at family parties. People are so passionate about their favorite flavor, they'll fight you for it. But what's a holiday family gathering without a little drama, right? And if you're friends with Santa, tell him to throw a few Built Bars in those stockings. With so many flavors, they'll make anyone's Christmas morning a happy one. And we have an offer for you. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
And shifting back to the Red Sox, you mentioned Pedroia, Ortiz. Who were they, some of your favorite teammates that you played with? I mean, you played with a lot of good people during your time with Boston.
Favorite two teammates was more so because we played in AAA together and came up. I would say Brock Holt and Jackie Bradley Jr. Two awesome dudes.
Explain a little bit some of your experience with Brock Holt, because that was a guy who always had so much energy. I'll never forget in 2013. I think he encapsulated the energy during those playoffs so well, not only because he hit the cycle, but he just always seemed to have so much energy and so much passion when he played the game.
He came over from the Pirates, and I think he was somehow undervalued in that organization. I don't know how they missed him. But when they started asking him, like, hey, can you play other positions? And he's like, yeah, whatever you need. Get me in the lineup. I'll play left. I'll play right. I'll play center. I'll play short. I'll play first. I mean, you've seen it for years. And that is so hard to do, to be even competent at multiple positions, not to mention an above-average defender, and then have positive – at bats the way he does when you're just throwing him all over the field. So that is such a special skill set that he's able to do and excel at and be an all-star at. It's very impressive.
Did you see he got to pitch? I think it was this past year. I think he was throwing like 45 miles per hour, yeah. But everybody on Twitter was like, give this guy a Cy Young award.
Yeah, of course.
I think the utility aspect of somebody's career really goes kind of under the radar, because you see a utility player and people are like, oh, we don't need another utility player. But it's like, you always do, because that person can slide in at third base if someone gets hurt. That person can go to center field, especially at Fenway Park. That outfield is not outfielder friendly. It's really difficult to play out there. And Brock Holt would probably just go out there and just be happy as a clam, just because he's ready to take on any challenge out there.
Yeah, what he does and what he brings to a team is so much more valuable than anyone will ever get a credit for. Especially, you know, the person he brings to the clubhouse too.
Yeah, 1,000%. I want to switch gears. Do you plan for Team Israel? That must have been a pretty incredible experience for you. Benjamin Weiss, one of our followers on Twitter, was really curious about your experience during that team.
I mean, the Olympics is a dream that I didn't even think I could dream, right? We all watched it growing up. We're all glued to the TV for 2 weeks, every 2 years, every 4 years. And baseball hasn't been in the Olympics for the last three rounds. So something I never thought was a possibility. And then when it became an opportunity, it's just been so amazing. an Olympics like no others, with COVID and no fans, and walking in opening ceremonies and waving strictly for the cameras because there was nobody there. Playing in the games in this beautifully refurbished stadium with the light poles that look like giant Olympic torches, but nobody in the stands. But the intensity was there just the same. And to me, the coolest thing was the gym in Olympic Village and the cafeteria, when I got to interact and observe, you know, the other athletes, these just elite athletes in their sports. I think I especially like the gym because I got to see them doing their sports specific training, but behind the scenes, behind the curtain stuff that no one gets to see. That was probably my favorite part.
Makes sense. That's got to be insane to see some of the world's best athletes out there, just kind of what their workout routine is. And like you said, behind the scenes stuff that we only get to see them at their peak and at their best when they're playing their sport, whatever that sport may be, but they have to be a different animal in the gym.
Oh yeah. I mean, power lifters, 10 feet away from gymnasts, 10 feet away from kickboxers, all doing their different stuff. All wearing their country's colors. So cool.
We have so much more to get to with Ryan LaVarnway in our third segment of Locked On Red Sox. As always, thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Before we get into our third and final segment, I need to tell you about BetOnline, because BetOnline has you covered this holiday season, which means there's more props, odds, and lines than ever before, especially as football continues its march through the College Bowls this season and into the Pro Football Playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all of the sports action this season. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive that 50% welcome bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, do not wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. And as someone who is a brand new bettor, I can very much confirm that BetOnline makes it super, super easy. It's BetOnline where the game starts.
You also had the opportunity as well in 2017 to represent Team Israel in the World Baseball Classic. How incredible was it for you to be named the World Baseball Classic MVP after the first round, especially representing Israel?
So that was that really reinvigorated my love for the game. After 2016, you talk about how you saw me in New Hampshire, but New Hampshire was a send down for me. That was back to Double A after five seasons with Major League time. So getting to play in international baseball in that World Baseball Classic tournament and to play well, it really. Again, it's just reinvigorated my love for the game, because in these international competitions, it's win or go home. You know, there's no contract that you're playing for. You're not playing for a call up or an endorsement deal. It's pure competition. The only thing I can compare the intensity to is Major League playoffs. So it's playoff baseball during spring training on an international stage. And it was just so much fun.
One of our Twitter followers, Corey Wilk, he wants to know, in representing Team Israel and in the Olympics, the World Baseball Classic, how does it feel for you to be a role model for Jewish kids who play baseball and want to play baseball?
I take the responsibility very seriously. And I think playing for Team Israel has helped me find my own Jewish identity and my own place in the Jewish community, because growing up, religion wasn't a big part of our lives. And I was talking to our physical trainer on Team Israel, and he's an Orthodox man that works out of Baltimore. And the way he explained it to me as, you know, Israel is a country that has a lot of debate over it, and that some people still don't have a lot of respect for. But when we can play on an international stage in a baseball tournament, even though it's just baseball, what happens before every baseball game is you have the flags hanging in the stadium and you play the national anthems. And getting to see the Israel flag hang at the same height as all the other countries, and the fact that we earned our way there fair and square, that nobody can deny its existence. Nobody can say that Israel is less than, or Jewish baseball players are less than. It means a lot. And that's what it means to me.
That's incredible. And I bet it must have been a really cool honor in 2020 when you were inducted to the Southern California Jewish Sports Hall of Fame.
It was cool. It was honestly, it's a Hall of Fame I didn't know existed until I was inducted. But it is a very cool honor. And I got to meet one of my favorite Jewish baseball players through that experience, Sean Green, who's also in that Hall of Fame for being a Dodger, you know, he's who I grew up going to Dodger Stadium to watch. So that was very, very, very cool.
It's awesome.
And after all your successes, your failures, your injuries during your time in baseball, whether it's the pros and also in the Olympics and everything like that, few and far between, is there any advice that you'd give to your younger self looking back on where you are right now?
Oh man, my younger self. I'd say kind of, I alluded to it earlier when I tried to be Jason Veritek. I tried to be what I thought I needed to be. I would say learn who you are sooner. Because, you know, I think I didn't grow up until I was 29 years old and really learn who Ryan is or how to be the best version of myself. So if I could do that a little bit sooner and kind of grow up, mature, and just be the best version of me instead of trying to be someone else, that's what I would tell younger me.
I love that. I think that's something that we're all trying to sort of figure out each and every single day, you know, with all the distractions that we have with social media, comparing ourselves to other people, wishing that we are in other people's positions. I think that's a huge lesson to really take a deep dive and figure out who am I, what are my passions, and honestly, what makes me happy.
Why waste your life trying to be someone else? There's only one you.
Exactly. Lastly, I was just curious, from your time transitioning out of baseball, how difficult was that transition for you, especially as somebody who played so many years in professional baseball?
Well, I'm hoping that I haven't made that transition yet. I played this past year for Cleveland. I got, you know, back up to the big leagues again. So whenever we can figure out this lockout situation, I'm a free agent. I'm available. If you know anyone, put in a word for me, would you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Hope we can see you back up there soon. Really appreciate you taking the time today, Ryan. And where can people support you?
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed our part two conversation with former Red Sox player Ryan LaVarnway. Thank you, Ryan, for graciously giving us your time and coming on Locked On Red Sox to speak with both me and Jake. Thank you to our amazing listeners for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at lalalalauren, three laws, Lauren with four R's. You can find Jake on Twitter at Jake Iggy. You can also follow the Locked On Red Sox Twitter account at @LO_Red Sox. Also be sure to check out all of my work right on Nesson.com. And be sure to check out all of the other amazing shows on the Locked On Network. Locked On Yankees, Locked On A's, Locked On Giants. Everyone does such an incredible job, especially during this trying time and during this lockout. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Subscribe right here on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. And now that you've made Locked On Red Sox your first listen of today, head on over and make Locked On Bets your second listen of this lovely Friday. Locked On Bets is your one-stop shop for all of your betting needs. It's hosted by your boy Q with expert insight and analysis from Lee Sterling. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day. Have an amazing weekend. Merry Christmas to those of you who celebrate. We will see you next week.